This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Google has teamed up with T-Mobile and gadget maker HTC to fire the first shot in the smartphone wars. This week, they unveiled their new G1 phone, ready to hit the shelves next month, take on the iPhone. It comes complete with touchscreen, email, maps, internet browsing. How much, though, is it like the iPhone? How does it stack up? Well, my next guest had the opportunity to actually play around with the G1 phone earlier this week. He did a side-by-side comparison. He's here with us today. Joshua Topolsky is the editor-in-chief of Engadget.com. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you? It's Engadget.
Engadget. What did I say?
Well, it happens. You know, you might have said N. That could be my mistake.
You've done too much radio. I guess
it's possible.
Engadget. So is it an app killer? Is it an iPhone killer, this thing?
Well, I'm not sure it's an iPhone killer. I mean, I feel like that term gets thrown around a lot. It's a good phone. It's got a lot of really interesting features. It's different than the iPhone. And I think it's going to appeal to some people who might buy an iPhone, but there's going to be a lot of people who are looking for something slightly different, and that's where it's aimed.
Mm-hmm. And what's slightly different about it?
Well, for one thing, it's built on sort of this idea of open source and openness. Google's whole, you know, their whole spiel on the phone is, we're not going to put restraints on you. You can do whatever you want with it. You can put whatever apps you want on it. And so I think that people who are looking for a little more tweakability, you know, geeks will get into it a bit more, whereas the iPhone is aimed squarely at a broad, casual, you know, more of a casual consumer market.
And they've actually, there's been a lot of people complaining this week and recently that Apple has been too strict in what it allows on its own iPhone.
Yeah, the timing is actually quite good for T-Mobile and Google and HTC, the company that makes the phone, because Apple has taken a lot of heat recently for the way they've been running their app store, you know, mm-hmm. which is where you can buy applications for the iPhone. They've been, you know, basically they've been sort of arbitrarily, mysteriously pulling applications. And, you know, they've got a really strict set of rules that they use and to judge what goes on in the store and what doesn't. And so the timing is great for T-Mobile because they're saying, look, here's something where you can do what you want. We're not going to tell you not to do it. We won't pull your app off of our app store. They have an app store called the Android Marketplace. So it's, you know, definitely there's a bit of a storm brewing in that region.
How about the keyboard? One of the things that the iPhone was revolutionary in is having that glass, no real keys on it. You can make the keyboard, the face look like anything you want it to. Is that the same here?
Well, I mean, it's a touchscreen phone. It uses a similar technology to the iPhone for its touchscreen, but it also has this flip-out physical keyboard. So you've got a lot of what the iPhone's doing in terms of the screen can be whatever you want, and it's got, you know, it's a capacitive, they call it a capacitive touch screen, which is more sensitive than the typical touch screens you see on phones. But, you know, the physical keyboard is kind of a big win in a lot of ways. A lot of people aren't comfortable with the iPhone's virtual keyboard. So, it doesn't have a virtual keyboard. You have to use the physical one.
Let's get a phone call or two. Mike from Portland, Oregon. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hi there. Go ahead.
I was wondering if Google is successful in promoting this Android platform across multiple companies, doesn't that open up the possibility of virus attack?
Yeah, if it's open source, can't more people get in and hack the system?
Well, there's certainly you're probably a little bit more at risk than with an iPhone. But, you know, we've got phones like Windows Mobile phones, for instance, and Palm phones that have been pretty much free reign. You can make whatever apps you want for them. And they haven't really been plagued with viruses or malware very much. So, I mean, I think, you know, we'll see. This is a much bigger market they're playing for than the sort of business users or the geekier users for those devices. But, you know, I think that I think they're going to be keeping a watch. It's not just going to be do as you please. I think that they're going to be keeping a very close eye on the kind of apps that people are making.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. You talked about Apple keeping its system very close to its chest, and it does that. Don't you have to be a Google user to use this phone, too?
You know, this is – I haven't gotten a confirmation on this. I've heard different people say different things. But it does – I mean, at the basic base of this, you have to use Gmail to get contacts onto the device to sync contacts, which would – I would imagine means you need to have a Gmail account. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're – I don't think they're going to have a service where you just have your contacts separate. So I think there is – obviously, they're trying to tie in their cloud services and their webmail to the phone. So yeah, the way it looks is you're going to have a Google account to use it.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything missing, glaringly missing? Oh, how did they forget to put this in
on the
there?
G1?
Yeah.
Well, very much like Apple, they don't have any kind of video recorder. You can do pictures, but if you want to shoot a video, there's no way to do it right now, which seems very odd. They don't have a video player. There's apparently one that's available on their application store, the marketplace, but it doesn't come with one. So if you want to watch a video on it, you have to get a separate app. Right. That you need to download. You know, it doesn't have multi-touch the way the iPhone does. So when you want to zoom in on something, you actually have to use a little plus or
you
minus.
Can't squeeze it with your fingers.
There's no
like
pinching,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There's no two-finger gestures that you use on it. So it is missing a few things, but I think it's missing far less than the iPhone was when it came out of the gate.
Mm-hmm. Do you expect it to be as big a seller as the iPhone?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, AT&T is a very dominant network here in America, and Apple, of course, is a brand to be reckoned with. This is a little more grassroots, and I think that for T-Mobile, it's going to be very successful. And I think for Google, it's going to really cement their place as a contender in smartphones and in sort of this converged area that we're moving into with devices. Will it sell as many? I mean,
who knows?
I don't know. But I would say not at a glance, probably not.
Why would a programmer want to write a program for this phone versus write one for the iPhone?
Well, I think that the main reason. Okay, so. If you write an application for the iPhone,
right.
You can't write a web browser. You can't make your own web browser, your own email application. There's very restrictive limitations put on developers for the iPhone. You can do certain things. You can't do other things. Apple's sort of vague about it, but they don't want you competing with their products that are on the, you know, their apps that are on the phone. Whereas with Android, you can do whatever you want. You want a browser, an email client. You can go ahead and do it. So if you're going to invest a lot of time and money in something, you know, you sort of have to – with Apple, you have to hope that they'll approve the application, whereas with the G1 and Android, it'll go out to the marketplace.
The fact that Google has jumped in here, is that sort of heading off the path somebody like Microsoft that might want to jump in with their own iPhone?
Well, I mean, Microsoft has a big place in the market with Windows Mobile. So I'm sure what they're looking at is advancing that into the next stage, something that's probably, you know, more touch, more flashy. I'm not sure that I don't think this precludes the possibility of something like a Zune phone or some sort of Microsoft sort of more consumer-oriented phone. But it certainly is, you know, Google entering this market is going to be added, you know, big added competition for those guys.
Yeah, they are an 800-pound gorilla now. Right?
Yeah, I mean, they're not fooling around. I mean, Google is a very serious contender. I mean, they own so much of what goes on online, you know, that for them to step into the phone OS or device OS area is a pretty big deal.
Now, there are a lot of early adapters. You probably may be one of them. I got to have that first one that's out there.
It's possible. That is possible.
Well, look what happened to a lot of people who bought the first iPhone, and they paid a lot of money for it. And then just a few months later, the second version came out, a couple of $100 less or more.
Yeah. Well, it was about a year later. But they did reduce the price.
They felt they got burned by being an early adapter. Might the same thing be happening here? Should you wait? You know?
The price of entry is way lower for this. If you're signing a new contract or a T-Mobile customer renewing your contract, it's $179, which is not a huge investment for a lot of phone buyers right now. So it's not that $600, you know, what was it, $599
right.
for the iPhone when it came out, which is astronomical now, looking at what they're charging at this $199 that they're charging now.
Mm-hmm. And the service plan, is it basically the same?
It's actually, I mean, in terms of what you get, I think it's a little bit more economical. They offer a $25 plan, which is unlimited data and 400 text messages, and then they have a $35 plan, which is unlimited everything, basically. Apple and AT&T, it's a little bit more expensive.
What about the bandwidth, the wide channel? fast downloads. Do they have
It's a 3G. It's a 3G device, but T-Mobile's 3G network, which is different than AT&T's, is not nearly as widespread as AT&T's is. They don't have as many areas of coverage. So, you know, there's a trade-off there. Then again, AT&T's can be very spotty. So
yeah, they also talked about that there was a cap on this early on the service.
You know, the day of the announcement, there was this kind of small text saying, we're going to cap you at a gig a month. And if you go beyond 1 gig of data a month, we're going to slow your downloads. But they actually, you know, really responded to we saw a big outcry on our site. Of users very upset about it. And I think they really responded to it, and they've actually taken that off of the documentation now. So
if you're starting out with your first smartphone and you're choosing between an iPhone and this new phone, who's this for? Who's it not for?
Well, you know, there's a lot of factors.
Yeah, I mean, if you just, you know, I don't know how to use any electronic device. You're like, you're the person that can't fix the 12 on the clock.
Yeah, you should probably get an iPhone in that case, because it's a much more controlled environment. It's a slicker environment, and it's more geared towards you're not going to run off the beaten path. You know, you're staying on what Apple has sort of set up for you.
And when you plug it in, it goes right to iTunes.
Yeah, it's all
familiar
integrated.
Interface.
Exactly.
Is this phone also integrated into something?
No, this is only – well, it's integrated into Gmail and into Google services. So you get tight integration with – if you're a Gmail user, and a lot of people are now. But in terms of you're an Apple user and you've got all your contacts and the Apple address book and, you know,
calendar.
Your email accounts, calendar – it's not going to sync with those. And so for a lot of users, that's going to be – same with Windows. It's not going to sync with your Outlook. So that's kind of a roadblock, I think, for a lot of users, especially entry-level users who just want something easy.
So you'd have to migrate all of those to the equivalent Google apps online.
Essentially, you'd have to put your contacts and your calendar data into Gmail or Google.
And you press a button and it syncs just like it would.
It actually syncs over the air, so it syncs continuously. Huh. If you change your contacts in your Gmail, it will push that to the phone and vice versa.
I'm doing that on my iPhone with my
Gmail.
Yeah,
right. No, it's very similar.
Same thing.
Very similar.
Well, thanks, Josh. Thank you for taking time to be with us. Josh Topolsky is editor-in-chief of Engadget,
engadget.com.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to take a short break, switch gears, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Carl Gerassi. He's here to talk about his new play, Taboos, which talks about, maybe you don't need people to have children or something like that. Stay with us. We'll explain what it is when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.
LOLP. 911. AYS. Don't know those abbreviations? Then you're probably not a teenager with extra strong thumbs that come with an addiction to text messaging. So here are some students from Chicago's Curie High School Youth Radio Project to take you into the world of texting, RN. And by the way, that means right now.
What up? What you doing?
LOL, I guess you're sleeping.
I like your shirt.
I'm bored.
What we should be doing is...
our work for the project.
What are we actually doing?
Texting about parties.
I think it's because we like to be in communication all the time with other people. Like, we like the interaction.
And when you're at school, you get less bored.
Okay, this one. It says, La Fala, where you at? And it's a friend, and they're in the lunchroom with me. It's kind of like we just joke around sometimes.
I either text my mom and ask her if she's coming to pick me up, or I text my boyfriend and ask him what color is he wearing to school tomorrow.
In one classroom with 30 kids, 30 students, I think at least a good 90% text.
Do you think the teacher knows you're texting?
No. It's very funny sometimes, though, because we're, like, texting right in front of her. Like, I can't believe she doesn't hear the clicking of the buttons. And when it vibrates when we receive a new message, it's like the whole classroom hears it except her.
They think they're very sly. But the window, the cell phone window, is illuminating.
I just really look back at elementary school compared to high school. You know, I still remember passing notes with my friends and, you know, being careful that you couldn't hear the paper crinkle or that, you know, the teacher would see you and catch you and then read the note out loud. And
you just put your book bag on top of the desk and you start texting, or
like hiding it under the notebooks.
In my seventh period class, I always text with one of my friends, and then one time the teacher, she caught us and she took away my phone. But I asked for it after class, so she gave it back to me. She told me not to do it again, but I kept on doing it anyway.
Because I got unlimited, so I'd be texting all day.
You think I can borrow $20, please? I'll promise to get it back to you ASAP.
What? Are you kidding?
LOL.
It's destroying two things, the ability to speak and the stupid abbreviations. People have bad enough grammar and English as it is without finding new ways to make it worse.
OMG.
WTF, where are you?
The best way to communicate with people is talk. I'm saying just pick up the phone and just call me.
Nah, I'll just text.
LOL. That piece was produced by the students of Chicago's Curie High School Youth Radio Project.